This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida. The perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is sponsored by Larson & Larson. They are intellectual property specialists, so whether you have written a book, a movie script, or even come out with a great idea for a patent, Larson & Larson can help protect your valuable work. For a free consultation, call 727-546-0660. They're my lawyers. They should be yours. Well, I have a wonderful guest today who woke up early. She's in California, and her name is Suzanne Redfern. I hope I pronounced it right. Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Patsy.
And did I pronounce Redfern right?
You did.
Okay, because it is spelled with R-E-A-D, like Reed, so which is a perfect name for a writer.
Exactly.
Okay, but I was pretty sure I got it right. So it's Suzanne Redfern, but when people are looking you up, they have to spell it Reed. Okay?
Well, R-E-D-F-E-A-R-N.
So that's great. Reed and fear and at the end. So
Yeah.
Okay. You must have had many times when people misspell that.
Exactly.
But it's a great name and perfect for a writer. And of course, I wanted to tell everyone that not only are you a writer, you are an actually real live architect, one who has gotten a degree and knows how to design a building, which is, I think, an ideal thing for a writer, because basically a writer has to be able to not just have the vision of an architect to see the story, you have to have a plan.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing how much the two careers have coincided and helped me along the way using my architectural skills to basically be a writer.
Well, they have, because your books are well structured, and of course, first we're going to talk about your latest book, but then I want to talk about your other book, because I think it's fascinating. And then I want to spend the second half hour, I think, just talking about your website, because you are amazing. It's rare that I come across a writer who I just think encompasses it all, and you really are. The way you have done your website, and the way you are so generous with your knowledge and understanding of the whole sort of business of and craft of writing, I think it's just marvelous.
Just thank you.
Fantastic. But let's talk about your book. It just came out 12 days ago, and so it's very exciting always when a new book comes out. And it's called No Ordinary Life, and it is
right.
It's a fascinating book, and I you know, when a book comes out, and you read the first few pages, you know if it's going to be good. And your book, when you read those first few pages, and we'll tell the story about what it is, but the you just capture the essence of your character, of your main character, and after the first two pages, you can't put this book down. You have to know what's going to happen. So let's talk about the whole idea of what a No Ordinary Life is about.
Well, No Ordinary Life, my brand, that my publisher, as writers out there, you're going to find that if you get published, that then you get a brand of what they want you to write. So my brand is kind of mothers protecting their children. So this idea kind of came from this idea of I was in a grocery store and I saw a headline and it said Zac Efron enters rehab again. And I saw the cover and I went, oh my gosh, you know, my daughter was a huge High School Musical fan back in the day. And so I felt like I watched Zac Efron grow up. And when I saw the headline, you know, my heart ached. I felt bad for him, and I felt bad for his family. And I suddenly had this kind of idea, and I said, you know, what is it that goes wrong behind the scenes that causes so many of these young stars to struggle? And I thought, that's the idea for this story. So this story is about a little girl who gets swept up in the world of Hollywood, and then what her you know, not real. The mom doesn't realize how dangerous this world is, and once they get in it, she starts to see how it is splintering her family apart, and then it's basically about the mom's journey and what she has to do to kind of extricate her family from this very dangerous world.
Well, of course, Faye Martin is your character,
yes,
the mother, and there are three children. And, of course, it's the youngest one, and it's, you know, we always see these YouTube things that come on,
right,
on television, and we see this cute kid doing something cute and wonder, you know, what else is going to happen in that kid's future. And in this case, Faye Martin has three children, one the oldest girl, and
right,
then a middle son, and then the little one, who's called Molly, which is a great name. And as I said, in this first page, just really the first page of your book, you capture Molly so beautifully.
Thank you.
And so tell us a little bit about what happens. Molly is seen in a YouTube type of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, I did not want to write a story about the typical mommy dearest, where you have this very zealous mom trying to, you know, pimp her kid out to become famous. So I needed to be happenstance. And when I was reading a lot of autobiographies to figure out what story I wanted to write on this, I came across Justin Bieber's mom's autobiography. And, she, you know, Justin Bieber was discovered on YouTube. And I thought, that's a great catalyst to make this happen. So, you know, she's just doing an impromptu dance on, you know, out on the promenade in Santa Monica. You know, there's all the street performers, and little Molly's just dancing along with the street performer, and this video goes viral. And sure enough, a talent agent kind of tracks her down and says, oh, we want to put her in a commercial. And, you know, it's kind of the answer to Faye's prayers, because she's struggling so much financially. She thinks, oh, this is a windfall. And then, of course, things go forward from there.
And, of course, there's always, you know, In this type of a story, you have a lot of, okay, say it's unknowns. What's going to happen to the family, to the children, and of course the father turns up. I guess the minute he smells money, and which is the type of thing that would happen and has happened. So. The way you weave the story is fantastic. Now, did you actually get to talk to some child stars about their experience?
I have a girlfriend who's, I live in Laguna Beach, which is only about an hour from L.A. So we're sort of on the, we're not part of the Hollywood scene, but there's a lot of Hollywood that flows into our, as a matter of fact, Justin Bieber just bought a house here in Laguna Beach. So we're right on that border of where Hollywood kind of bleeds into us. And so we actually have a reality show that was done here called, you know, Laguna Beach. And I have several friends whose kids have kind of been in that world a little bit. I actually, my cousin was on a, he was on the series. It didn't get made, but the starting little series for when he was like 12. So I had some experience that way, but then I also have a girlfriend whose son did get into the Disney world. So he was going to be a Disney kid, and she pulled him as soon as she saw the danger signs of what it was going to lead to. And so we went out to lunch, and we had a nice conversation about what that world is actually like. And then I also happen to have another cousin who actually used to work as an assistant producer on a show. So she helped me with the technical side of things, which was very helpful.
And it is a rough, it's a rough world for an adult to try to be in. And of course, for a child, it can be. And as you said, we have seen so many, you know, sad stories of what happens when they get too much fame too early, and it's
right.
And
well, there's a whole psychology also to what celebrity does to people. So whether you're a kid or an adult or whatever, it's a lot to deal with. Just that kind of attention and focus on you that intently, and sometimes you lose sight of who you are and, you know, who you can trust, whether you're, you know, 4 years old or whether you're 40 years old. So I did a lot of research on celebrity also and how it affects the psyche, and it was fascinating. I was like, wow, maybe we're just not meant to have millions of people staring at us.
Well, that's true. Now, when you were writing, of course, you had written a previous story. We're going to talk about that, because I had not read that one, Hush, Little Baby, until it was after I had read No Ordinary Life because I was so intrigued with your writing and your style.
Thank you.
So I went back and I got Hush, Little Baby, which is another, as you said, a story. If you're talking about sort of a brand, a mother and children in trouble and having to face problems. Now both you know, both of these of course are written in first person. I was recently at a writer's workshop and they were having a lot of discussion about, you know, how to write. And I mentioned that I had been talking to a very famous writer, Brad Taylor, and right. he wrote his first book. He wrote it in third person. And then after a while, he realized, well, I'm missing my voice. It's not exactly my voice. So he went back and you worked through it with first person, which sometimes is, you know, it is more difficult, but it is, I think, very effective. And with you, it's you must become the character in some ways.
I do. I definitely embody these characters. You know, it becomes this alter ego experience. I assume I've never been an actress, but I assume it's very much like how an actor or actress channels, you know, their character. So I was definitely in Faye's head, and you know, when she was struggling, I was struggling, and yeah, definitely. First person is very in your head and in the moment. Because I also write present tense. And to be honest, I think it has to do with the fact that I didn't go to school for writing, so that was the voice that came out when I started writing. I just happened to write first-person present tense, and it works for me. So I've stuck with it, but it is funny because it is definitely not how most people write a book. But that's for lack of training. There you go.
Well, no, exactly. It's like the artists who go to university to learn how to paint. It usually doesn't work out well.
I'm very thankful that I don't have a lot of, that I didn't have a lot of background, because I think I was just allowed to just write however I wanted to write, and I didn't have a lot of things like saying, oh, you have to do it this way, or you have to do it that way, so.
And then you have a very distinctive style, a very distinctive voice that makes your characters so interesting, and of course, not just the main characters of, you know, Faye's is interesting, and of course Molly, who is a kind of a little mini Shirley Temple,
right?
And so we can imagine her, but the brother and the sister you have developed so beautifully too.
Thank you. I really started out with this idea of, you know, I knew that it had to be a story about the family, and I knew it had to be a story about the children. What they needed to have, I wanted there definitely to be both sides, where somebody's benefiting from this world and somebody's not, which makes the decision for the parents so much more difficult. So that's where Tom and Emily come in. You know, it's funny because the story, yes, you know, Molly is the catalyst for all this because she's the one that becomes famous, but it really isn't so much Molly's story as it is this family story and Emily's story and Tom's story and Faye's story and everything that the fame does to all of them.
Exactly. That's what I immediately got from reading the book, that there was there's a fullness to it, that it's not one dimensional, and I think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
And of course, now your book before that, which was called Hush, Little Baby.
Right.
I want to mention it because one of the wonderful things, exactly what happened with me is when. Nowadays, it's so fantastic. You know, a book comes out, and then it has its sort of little run, and then it goes away. And, you know, and it's, you know, not forgotten, but it's just gone. It's not, like, on the bookshelves. It's not out there in your face. So it's so wonderful that, like, now your new book came out, and I was just intrigued with it. And as I said, I enjoyed the entire book. I thought you have this very, very great way of writing, and I wanted to read the other book. So it's so wonderful nowadays that you can just go online and get.
Isn't that nice?
I mean, it's wonderful, because in the old days, you'd never find your old book in a bookstore.
And then you have to wait weeks, and by that time you've forgotten about it. Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. And this was like an immediate thing. I finished, and I had finished this book, and I said, I'm not done. I'm not done with Suzanne yet. I have to know more. And so it was such a great feeling to, like, woo, I can just click on this and I can have the book right away. And And that also is a fascinating story.
Thank you.
You know, because that's what I want to encourage readers to read the current book. And once you read that one, go and get the last one because it is fascinating. Now, of course, these are, I know that you've written some books before that perhaps weren't published. So these are your two biggies. And Hush Little Baby really was a fantastic thing for you because it was chosen as a Target Emerging Authors book.
Exactly. Yeah, which was just a huge compliment. And, you know, Target is so fabulous in supporting new authors. It's so hard to get your name out there when you're not James Patterson, Michael Connelly, Jodi Picoult. You know, nobody knows Suzanne Redfern. So, and, you know, Barnes & Noble's fabulous, but if you go there, there's, you know, 5,000 books on the shelves. How do you ever find, you know, Suzanne Redfern in that stack? And, you know, Target does this thing where they look for authors that fit their readership, and they'll say, look, we're going to put you on the shelf for a couple months and give you some exposure. And honestly, I think that's the reason Hush Little Baby did as well as it did, was because, you know, Target actually recognized it and said, this is a good book for our readers. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think, you know, Target has to be complimented for doing this kind of things for writers, because,
absolutely,
you know, it is hard, as you said, to get out there, and to, you have so many, a writer has so much work to do to get the book out there, because it's not easy. And
yeah,
that Target,
we don't have as many mom and pops out there that are hand selling books that are going, oh my God, I read this great read, you have to try this. So without having that support system, we're really relying on, you know, social media bloggers and, you know, things like what Target's doing and Oprah and, you know, a few other people that are kind of saying, look at these new authors. So it's a good thing.
And I can see why they chose it, because let's just talk a little bit about it, because I want to intrigue my listeners to go back and get this book as well, because it's a very good read.
Thank you. Hush Little Baby is a story about a woman who is suffering at the hands of a domestic abuser, and she's a mother of two young children, and finally it gets to the point where she has to basically take her life in her own hands and run from him. So she's on the run with her two kids, and it's the story of the concept originally came from this idea of evil and good within each of us, and how we can make evil appear good, good appear evil, and what could ultimately switch the tables. So her husband makes her out to look like the villain in it, and she is going to lose custody of her kids if she ever leaves him. So that's kind of the reason that she ends up on the run, and he's very psychotic. And, you know, it's funny because I think of that story much more of a psychological thriller, and, you know, No Ordinary Life is more of a drama, but it's definitely the mother bear thing of these mothers having to rise up and protect their children. And it's such an intriguing topic. And, you know, Hush Little Baby was, you know, I mean, definitely a roller coaster to write. I hope it was a roller coaster to read, because it was intense, you know. And the thing about it is, you know, I didn't want to rehash another story about domestic violence that kind of shows a stereotypical weak woman. So, you know, Jillian, who's the protagonist in this book, you know, she's a successful architect.
Like you. And
yeah, like me. And, you know, she's in her life, you would look at her and go, this is a successful, strong, powerful woman. You would never have any inkling that what's going on behind closed doors. And the reason that that came about is because when I started doing research, I realized domestic violence, you can be a victim of that no matter who you are, no matter what status you are in this world. It could be you, Patsy. It could be me. You know, the way that the abusers, you know, manipulate their victims and hold them hostage, basically, could be used against any one of us. And I really wanted to convey that in this book. And that's why Jillian is such a strong character, despite the fact that she is a victim of domestic violence.
Well, it is. It is a thrill ride. I will tell you that. That's what I thought of it as I'm finishing the book. It's, oh, woo. I've been on a thrill here.
I need a glass of wine.
Exactly. It's fantastic. And I'm so, you know, as I said, I think, you know, you have found your voice and you just have just run with it. And it's fantastic. And I know, of course, it wasn't easy. This was Hush Little Baby, of course, is your big success, first big success. But you had written some books before that. And they were learning experience, right?
Well, that's kind of my, you know, I just went to lunch with a budding novelist yesterday, and, you know, she's like, how do I, and I'm like, my advice to every writer is the same, you know, write, sit your butt in the chair and write. You know, Hush, Little Baby is my fifth novel. It's not even necessarily my best novel. The other four novels I wrote were actually very good novels. They were learning experiences, you're right about that, but I think more importantly, you have to write the right story, and what I mean by that is, you know, it's a very difficult world out there to get published in. It's a business, and publishers are having a harder time launching new authors and making money off those new authors, so they're being very fickle about what they choose. So it's not so much, is the writing great? Is the story great? It's about, is the story going to sell? Is this something that they can actually market and fit into a category and, you know, promote? And so, you know, those other four novels I wrote are great stories, and I'm very proud of them, but they weren't the right stories. So my advice to writers is write, because that first story might not be the one, might not be the right one, the second one might, the third one might, you know, it might be the fourth one, the fifth one, or the seventh one. You don't know what it is that's going to hit that magic mark to get through that gauntlet.
Okay, this is exactly what I was saying earlier, that you are so generous with your what you've learned and your knowledge, which is exactly what I'm trying to bring to my listeners, because I want to encourage them to do exactly what you said. Just keep writing, because you don't know what's going to happen. Now, I have to take a little commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about your philosophy of writing, and a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about architecture. And so we'll be back after this short break, okay?
Hold on. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Susan Redfern, who has written a fascinating book that I'm sure everyone will really enjoy. It just came out 12 days ago, and she's been, I think you probably have a whirlwind time right now just promoting the book, and it's called No Ordinary Life. And I just want, we're going to mention it a couple of times so that people will be able to know where to find you. What is your website?
SuzanneRedfern.com, so it's very easy.
And we have to explain to people that they spell it Redfern, it's with a R-E-A-D.
R-E-D-F-E-A-R-N.
Okay, because I want people to find your website, because I think it is one, I think it is perhaps the best writer's website I have ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
No,
wow,
I look at all of them all the time. And this is an amazing website, and one that I am going to be sending people to all the time as an example of a great website. It is just fantastic. Besides, I love the little chickies. They're so cute. I could just look at them all day. I don't know where you got the idea. You don't raise chickens out there, do you?
No, we don't.
Well, I love them, and it's just so adorable. So we're going to talk a lot about your website, but first I'm going to talk, I want to mention to people that, again, that you are an architect. And ever since I read The Fountainhead, I've always loved books about architects.
Oh my gosh, great book, yeah.
And because architects are so important, and I'm so surprised at how little imaginative designs we get out there.
It's like writing. I mean, it's hard.
Hard. And it was funny in Hush, Little Baby. Of course, your main character is an architect like you, and I had to laugh when you describe one of the school that she's asked to build.
Right.
Explain that, because it's funny, I think.
Yeah, so that's actually based on a true story. It's one of the reasons I actually got out of architecture, because architecture, you know, it can be frustrating as well. But I was actually working for a school designer, and I was designing a middle school out in Compton. I don't know if in Florida you know where Compton is, but you've all heard the movie Out of Compton. It's kind of like a Harlem. It's a very tough neighborhood. And the school administrators and the board and the people that were deciding on the school said no windows in any of the classrooms because of vandalism. And I said, well, you can't do a classroom without windows. You know, you have to put windows, and we need light. And they were just adamant, no, it causes too much vandalism and everything. And so in this book, I obviously borrowed from my own experience, and, you know, Jillian is stuck in this position of trying to design this school, and they're telling her that they can't put windows in the school, and so I borrowed from that.
Yes, well, I drive by every day a new high school that is being built, and they've done windows like little slits, you know, like in a castle, so that they can just, you know, aim their bow and arrows out of it. And I'm thinking, these poor kids are in this place. I mean, it's horrible. I mean,
it was horrible. It was just such a horrible thing. And I brought in all this literature to purport, you know, look what natural light does for people. Look at how much healthier it is.
Well, you know,
they didn't care. All they cared about was the bottom line.
One of the joys of my life was going to a grammar school where it was an old grammar school, and the windows opened big. They were tall windows, those big tall windows, and they opened. You could open them all the way up and get the fresh air in. And and outside of the school, we had lilac bushes.
Oh my gosh!
And
how
it
wonderful.
Was so delightful. We'd be so happy all spring, you know, when we just open the windows and we'd have this fantastic smell. I still one of the when I think back of my childhood, that is one of my fondest memories.
Yeah.
And read that about Jillian, oh gosh, yeah, I'd get out of it too.
Yeah.
But so you really made it come alive, I think, for me.
Well, it's interesting because my publicist at the time when I wrote Hush, Little Baby, you know, she was great. She was trying to do all kinds of things to get me out there. And so she's like, can you do sketches of like the different places? So I did a sketch of, I did a rendering of the house that Jillian lives in, and I did a rendering of the school that she designed, and then I did a rendering of the Flying Goat Cafe, which is where she runs off and basically is hiding out. And it was so much fun to do, to actually bring what was in my brain for writing and actually put it on paper in a rendering. And that's actually on my website.
It is. That's what I was going to mention. People can go to your website. So they have to read Hush, Little Baby, and then they have to go to the website.
Which you probably will not find any other author that has done architectural renderings of their site. So
exactly. That's what I thought. So I thought it was, I got such a kick out of it. Well, your entire website is, as I said, is delightful. And so unusual. And of course, one of the best things is your page for writers.
Oh, thank you.
An amazing person, because most people aren't so willing to get out there and share all this information. And you have, you even put up a manuscript template for Microsoft Word.
Yes, please use it, because I get so many people giving me their manuscripts and I'm like, oh, it's not formatted right. So that's actually why I did it. I was like, it's pretty simple to do if you just know exactly, you know, if you just plug it in, it's done for you. So yes, please log on my website, use manuscript template, and you're all set to go and it'll be perfect.
It is. And as I said, most writers don't think of helping other people that much. I mean, you really have gone out there and done a fantastic job. And we have to just talk a little about another thing on that website is FOMO. Tell us about FOMO, because that story, again, people have to go to your website and read that. I think that is so cool. I think I spent, you know, I read the two books, and then I think I spent as much time surfing your website because it's just so enjoyable.
Thank you. FOMO, if you don't know, because I certainly didn't know, and my daughter called me and she told me, I got FOMO. My daughter's 18 and she's at UC Berkeley, and
having been there, people get a lot of things at UC Berkeley you don't want. So
what was that?
I said, one would think that there are a lot of things one gets at UC Berkeley that one doesn't want. So
right, exactly. That's exactly what I was like, oh, God, what is this disease that my daughter has? And it's just me being old, because I guess it's a fairly popular term, but it means fear of missing out. And so my daughter has it, and I certainly have it, which is everyone else is doing something wonderful, and somehow I'm not a part of it. And so I had to write a little essay for a blog, which I love these bloggers. Again, they're the reason that new books get out there. And so they said, oh, can you do a blog entry for me? And my daughter had just called me and told me she had FOMO. So I wrote that little passage, you know, and it made me smile, because I think that a lot of us do suffer from, you know, looking at Facebook and Twitter and thinking everyone else is doing something absolutely fabulous while we're sitting home in our pajamas doing nothing.
Well, I think that alone, that you've written it so brilliantly,
that
little article. So I was like thinking, oh boy, this girl must have written a heck of a query letter to get an agent.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, again, this came up in my conversation yesterday. I don't know how to condense my book into, you know, one page. And honestly, it takes one line. I have had three agents, and I got all three of my agents with a query letter for my very first novel, not the one that got published, and it was literally one line in terms of description of the book. And it just, you need to have that hook. So if you have a hook, you know, again, it's that elevator pitch. So it's not about condensing the book into one page. It's about making them want to read your book.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for me, it was, you know, I'm going to misquote this, but it was something like, why would a suburban wife and mother risk everything to begin working as a prostitute in a brothel? The answer might surprise you. That was my line, and I got three agents with it. So the query letter, it just, you know, if I can reach out to authors and tell, it's extraordinarily hard to write, and I don't want to, you know, underplay how important it is. But that being said, it's not about summarizing the book. It's about getting them to want to read the book. So, you know, if you can, if somehow that helps, but yeah.
Well, yes, because it is, you know, something that writers suffer over. And as
right.
I said, the minute I read that, I said, I know that she had, you know, the query letter had to come really, you know, to her head in a,
yeah, and again, you know, it's they want to see your personality. So it's again, it's not about summarizing the book. It's about summarizing yourself, presenting yourself in a way that they're like, oh, I like this person. I want to see more. It's really just about getting to that next step. Make them want to ask for the next, you know, 10 pages, the next, you know, 50 pages, and then hopefully your writing stands on its own and they want to see the rest.
And your writing certainly does. And I have to tell people I'm going to wherever I go, whenever I go to a writer's meeting, I am going to talk about your webpage.
Oh.
And I am going to tell them this that they have to read, if nothing else, on your webpage,
FOMO?
To read the FOMO, because because what it does, it's so beautifully written. The minute you read it, you know, this is a writer. This is somebody who knows what she's doing. And I'm just so excited about going to my next writer's meeting. I think I'm just going to put it up there. You know, I'm going to put it up on the big screen and say, you have to read this because this will tell you the sort of, well, the joy, which is sort of the name of my program, The Joy on Paper. It's so much fun to get this on paper and to see it and then, you know, to share it. And
Thank you.
You do it. And I love it. I just, as I said, this whole, your entire web page, it's amazing.
Thank you.
You know, I love this whole thing about, everything. I'm hooks and sinkers and the creative process and storytelling, all of these things.
I want to share on that a little bit. You know, it's kind of the pay it forward. I mean, as soon as I came into this world, I was embraced by a bunch of writers. And I don't know if it's just my community, but, you know, several very established writers reached out to me, said, let's go to lunch. I'll tell you about the ropes, blah, 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 blah. And I just feel like this community of authors is amazing. And we're not competing against each other, so we might as well bolster each other and pick each other up. And that's honestly how I feel. There's room for everybody. And you can't, you know, it's nice having a mentor. It's nice having people to bounce things off of. So, I feel like it's my job now to hopefully repay that favor.
Well, it is. It's nice to share. You know, there's all types of writers, and it's amazing. You know, you tell, now I have people to tell about you, you know, you have to read this, you have to read that. And I hope that, you know, my listeners will pick up your books and start reading. And of course, go to your website because I think it's so helpful. I love the where you did the entire thing, the six
pages of writing.
Six stages of writing. Again.
It actually came to me when I was going to sleep at night. I'm like, oh, my God, because I do that. I get this, like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever written. Then I go through this whole other litany of emotions before I get to the end, and I'm like, wow, it happens every single time.
Well, it is, you know, it's, as I said, again, this is so inspiring to writers, too, to know that you know, you come out with an idea, and then you sort of, oh, is it the right idea, and should I run with this idea, or should I, you know, and all of this playing around, and It's just so encouraging to read some
to know that you're not in it alone, that everybody else is going through this as well.
Exactly. So you know, I think you've done a marvelous job with your book, and I again, we're going to repeat your website so that people know what it is.
Okay, it's www.Suzanne, SUZANNE, then Redfern, which is redfern.com.
That's great. And one, of course, No Ordinary Life is available on all the major places where people buy books. And
yes, and it will be available at Target starting right around the beginning of March.
That's great. Go to Target and get this book. Just pick it up hot off the shelf, and encourage, you know, Target to do this kind of thing, because as I said, it's a wonderful thing. And you know, when you think about it, when you are, you know, coming out with all these ideas, I'm sure you're currently writing another book.
I am.
Yes. I think that's one of the things about being a writer. You just have to keep going. You know,
you just have to sit yourself in the chair and start writing again. Yes. As the moment the other manuscript is done, you sit down and you start writing the next one. Yes.
And of course, as I said, you know, it's not easy to find an agent. And
no.
You found three of them. I don't know.
You're and, like, you know, that's the other thing. You know, you might find an agent and you still might not sell your book. You know, this is the reality of the business. And that's why you have to have more than one book to sell, and you have to keep going, and you have to believe in yourself. And, you know, it really is a game of perseverance.
And who's your current agent? Do you mind saying?
Irene Goodman.
Well,
and she's fabulous.
No, I know you don't mind saying, because I was going to say it anyway.
Because Irene Goodman, and I adore her, yes.
I adore her. She was my very first guest
on my
radio program.
Oh,
and
nice.
I love her so much because she's just a wonderful person, so warm and so generous. And what I like about her is she's doing these critiques of partial manuscripts for
exactly.
writers.
Exactly. How generous is that?
It is. It's, you know, she takes her time, and of course all the money is donated to
right.
to Charity. And exactly. To get a critique from her is...
Yes. If you have something ready to look at, go to IreneGoodman.com and let her critique your work because it's worth it. Yeah.
Exactly. She's got a link there, and at the first of every month, she holds an auction, she auctions it off, and whoever wins gets this fantastic critique from her. And
exactly.
30 years in the business working
with...
That's
it. I mean, here's a woman who knows the business, who knows why your book will get published, won't get published. You know, she's gonna lay it out for you, and that's priceless if you're a new author trying to break in.
Exactly, and she's such an encouraging person, and she's so generous with her knowledge and trying to help writers. And of course, she speaks at a lot of different events. Are you doing any events coming up?
I have one coming up at the end of this month that's an author tea, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to be doing it with Ann Gerard and Susan Meisner, and it's a Hollywood-based author event, so we're all going to talk about Hollywood and our different takes on the books that we wrote regarding Hollywood. So it should be a lot of fun. I actually love the events that have not just me, that have other authors, because it's so interactive, and it always ends up being a wonderful discourse and dialogue between us and the audience. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And then, a few other events down the road, but I don't think I'm coming East Coast for a while. I would love to make a trip, so hopefully maybe in the next year or so I'll manage to get to the East Coast.
Well, I'm hoping to have an author's event sometime towards the end of the year, and perhaps you could come out and join us, because it's so important. I want not only to bring authors to their fans and to expose them to a wider fan base, but also to have these events where writers can get together and talk and encourage each other.
Right.
And it is so important. And we've had a few nice events here in the Tampa Bay area where, of course, I think it doesn't matter how big you are. When you're a writer and you have the fans lining up to get an autograph, it's a pretty great feeling.
Oh, it's amazing. I was in the post office the other day, and I was mailing a couple of books, and the postal guy got so excited, and I was, so excited. And it was a wonderful feeling. I mean, you kind of forget that there's that part of being an author, because so much of it is sitting in your little hobble hole, putting words on a page, and then you meet somebody who's actually a fan, and it's a thrill. It's just a wonderful feeling, yeah.
And I think also with your two books, both of your books, not only are they literature, I think they can be helpful to people who find themselves in that situation, whether it's somebody
right.
who finds right. herself, sort of recognizes herself in
absolutely.
Jillian.
Absolutely. Even Faye in a different, in knowing that, they need to rise up and protect, and it's hard to do. It is very hard as a young mom. I've had that problem where I regret not standing up when I should have. And, you grow stronger, and hopefully through these characters you grow stronger,
And that's one of the wonderful things about books, that we can bring all these stories, and you never know which one is going to touch that nerve, that some need in someone to,
right.
to, have this response that, oh, well, Jillian took action, I can take
yeah.
action.
Especially with Hush, Little Baby, because it's about such a poignant subject that so many of these women suffer, quietly and silently. And I know that that book has affected a lot of people, and I hope that more people are touched by it.
And it's something
really
you should
know that you're not alone, and it can happen to anybody.
Exactly. It's something that you can be very proud of. And the same thing, with No Ordinary Life. People think that they see something on a cute kid, and they think, oh well, that cute kid has it made
exactly. Hopefully they have a little more empathy for that family, for that child, I hopefully people respect them a little bit more and give them a little more space and understand that it is hard,
So I'm just very, very grateful that you came on the show today, and that we got to talk a little bit about Irene Goodman. And again, I'm telling all my listeners all the time that they should go and get involved in this auction.
Absolutely.
Which starts at, again, we'll have one starting on March 1st. So get your work ready, and this is a wonderful thing. You need to get noticed, and you need help. Now, did you find the editing process difficult, or did you embrace it?
I embraced it. I've been an architect for a really long time, so, you know, charrettes and getting feedback from people is something I'm very used to, and I understand that there's a collaboration that goes on, and I actually always find that good comes out of it. You know, there's always a back and forth, you know, oh, I really like that, I don't like that, you know, but we're all on the same page. We're all working towards making the best book possible, so I embrace it in that vein, and yeah, I mean, both books turned out, you know, better than they started, so, I it's a good process.
Yeah, and again, I have enjoyed talking to you. I have enjoyed reading your books, and I am going to enjoy talking about you.
Sometimes you're going to thank. And again, thank you for what you do, because again, you know, it's these kind of grassroots efforts of people saying, "Look at these new authors. Look at what else is out there." And you know, so thank you so much for this radio show and for giving me the opportunity to be on it.
Well, it's fun. I recently spoke to a group of about 55 of young authors, you know, all starting off, and some are almost done with the book, some are done, and they're, of course, some of them were shocked to learn that they were going to be editors in their lives. I always find that amusing when they say, "What do you mean? Somebody's going to touch it? Somebody's going to change it?" I said, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, no, you know, and this comes with a little bit of, I think, just maturity in any kind of creative field. You're going to find that, you know, you cannot be married to your work, and that you have to be willing to change and edit. And it is a business. I mean, this is a business. So, you know, books need to sell, and if things need to change in order to make that happen, that's part of it.
Okay, well, if you feel sometimes like somebody's talking about me, it's probably Patsy with a Z. Out here in Florida, going around to the book events and talking about you, because I have not had an author's website that I've ever wanted to talk about.
It makes me just so happy. Thank you.
I mean, their websites, you know, you go to them and blah blah blah. That you see a little bit, but is really the first website that I'm sending authors to, because it is just wonderful. Besides that, they can just put that little, those little cheekies up there at the front and leave it up all day. I left it up for a couple of days. I'm just looking at your little cheekies.
Oh, that's so funny. So, thank you, Patsy.
So I'm so happy that I got a chance to talk to you, and I'm going to play now a song, and if you listen for a few minutes, I'm playing a song. This is a song that I play for agents, but particularly for Irene Goodman, because I think you and I both feel this way about agents, that we have to always say, "Sincerely yours." So thank you so much for joining me today, and just listen to this song.
Thank you, Patsy.
Thanks.
Sincerely yours. I'll be yours, sincerely yours. Night and day I'll pray you're mine, spring or fall, rain or shine. Though I can't be close to you, don't blame me for wanting to. Don't blame me if I should try.
I think Ed and I just got so thrilled with that song, we just could listen to it all day. But I just wanted to say again that go to IreneGoodman.com if you are interested in getting one of her critiques, or it's on my webpage, at the top of my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper.com. And there's a link there. And if you're a writer, you need somebody to help you along. So think about joining in this auction. Now, next week, I have a very special guest, Margaret George. Margaret George is probably, well, she's an amazing historical novelist. Her book, of course, Elizabeth, is one of the most famous of the historical novels, I think, in recent times. It's just a fantastic book. All of her books are fantastic. And so I'm really excited to have Margaret George on next Thursday. And I know you'll enjoy learning from her because she is an amazing researcher. And her books are spot on when it comes to research. So do think about perhaps getting one of her books in advance and reading it. And meanwhile, I again want to remind you that all writers need a good lawyer, and you need a good lawyer sooner than later. You can just ask the author of Shades of Grey, who landed up in a lot of litigation because she didn't have a lawyer when she started off. So if you're interested in protecting your property, protecting your intellectual property, you have to make sure that you go to Larson & Larson. They're my lawyers, and I highly recommend them to everybody. So just plan that ahead. And meanwhile, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, I suggest you go to the Miami Avenue Wine Bar and have a nice time there. They have a lot of wonderful wines, and it's just a wonderful atmosphere. And on Friday and Saturday nights, there's dancing and live music, and it's a place that you will really enjoy. And I'm looking here because I know I have it somewhere, and I'm like, well, what? I got so excited talking to Suzanne Redfern because she is a marvelous writer. I hope you go to her website. And I want to remind you again, Larson & Larson's telephone number for a free consultation is 727-546-0660. They're my lawyers, and they should be yours because you want to protect yourself. That's the nature of the game. Remember that writing is not just, writing is a lot of fun, of course, but it is also a business, and you want to be out there and protected. So this is Patsy with a Z, and I want to wish everyone a great week, and I hope that my wonderful producer in there, Big Ed, who's been struggling there with a sore throat, is feeling better in a few days because he's such a great guy. So I'm hoping that he gets some rest this weekend for his voice. And just remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on screen. And I want you to go to Suzanne Redfern's webpage as an example of what you should be doing to build your writer's platform. And then next Tuesday, join me for Joy on Paper at 11 a.m. And remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. And have a great weekend.